Cricket Ringers.
Okay, okay, your gentlemen of the press, sir, welcome to the White House for this, sir, historic joint press conference by the two leaders of the free world, George W. Bush and Tony Blair. The president will speak first.
Hello, people of the world. Smug grin, caring shoulders, casual shirt. What a great day this is. As we celebrate the utter collapse of the evil Taliban regime. Something that could not have been achieverated if it were not for the support I have enjoyed from this man beside me. Unquestionably the finest Belgian wartime prime minister since Winston Chamberlain. But our work is far from complete. Serious frown, angry glare, sweat-stained bald spot. I will not rest while the freedoms enjoyed by the British people are threatened by one lone, bearded extremist desperate to extend his influence, a lunatic whose inflammatory outbursts threaten our very way of life.
Don't worry, Tony, we will get Bin Laden.
No, no, I'm talking about David Blunkett.
Now, Mr. Bond, we meet at last. Sit there while I stroke this cat and explain how I'm going to kill you in such an implausibly lengthy fashion that it allows you to escape.
You fiend.
Tell me, Mr. Bond, what were you doing on my secret airbase?
I was spying.
Do not treat me like a fool, Mr. Bond. I put it to you that you were plane spotting.
Never.
When you were brought to me, you had a notebook full of numbers. And you were wearing an anorak.
It may have looked like an anorak, but it was actually a nylon satellite used for spying.
Nonsense. It was just a naff pull-on raincoat. The first tool of the plane spotter's trade.
And how do you explain these?
Your National Health glasses taped up at one side with a bit of plaster.
Yeah, they might look like glasses, but they are in fact a missile launcher.
Rubbish. They're just spotty plane spotter specs.
All right, Blofeld, you win. Do you expect me to talk?
Oh, God, no. Please, no. No, it's all, I saw a Boeing 777 this, and oh, look, a C-54 American transport plane that. No. Boring. I'm afraid it's time to die.
Damn you, Blofeld. If only I could reach my special pen.
It won't help you, Mr. Bond. Those chains are too strong for any secret laser.
What laser? No, a 1973 A4 Skyhawk has just gone by and I want to write the number down.
BBC Radio 4, I'm Charlotte Green. More than a woman to you. Coming up next on Radio 4, it's Go For It. But that won't be for those of you listening on Longwave because you've got Educating Archie. You lucky sods.
I'm Matt Smith, or as I'm better known, that annoying scouser that comes on after the archers. This is the show all about what us groovy people at Radio 4 think you kids are into. Particle physics research, Czechoslovakian animation, and crown green bowling. Ace. This week in our book corner, we've got Tom Baker, and he's reading one of Shakespeare's sonnets.
Who let so fair a house fall to decay? Which husbandry in honour might uphold against the stormy gusts of winter's day, and barren rage of death's eternal cold. Devouring time, blunt thy lion's paws, and make the earth devour her own sweet brood.
Ace. Isn't Tom Baker great? Maybe you know someone whose career has ground to a halt because of just one role, and who spends their day drowning their sorrows down the pub. Well, if you do know someone like me, write in. Only joking, I think, Ace.
This Christmas, what could be better than owning on video The Blue Planet?
A majestic investigation into the wonders of the deep. Entering the subaquatic world of creatures who inhabit a world so near and yet so alien to our own. Well, I'll tell you what. Owning this instead. It's electric blue planet. All the sexy bits of the series that they wouldn't let us show you as they were just too hot for the telly. I bet you've never seen an electric eel this turned on before. Talk about being hung like a seahorse. Oh, yes. This is 90 minutes of pure hardcore prawn. Squid-on-squid action. Continuous live seabed shows. Electric Blue Planet. Available now in a plain brown paper bag. From all highly disreputable stores.
This is Radio 1. The government's chief medical officer has warned that young women who indulge in binge drinking are dying at record rates. He says all responsible employers should be promoting sensible drinking habits. Now it's back to the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Coxie.
Hello. So I thought I'd have a quiet one last night while I only had 6 pints of neat vodka. All right, here's another banging house show. No, Ladettes of Britain, do not adjust your wireless. Greg Dyke says this is my breakfast show now. I'm here to save you from yourselves. There'll be no more of this hamster rap, and especially no more Kylie Minogue. There's a place for Australians, you know, it's Australia. It's no wonder you've turned to drink listening to that ungodly din. Val Doonican mightn't be as hip as Eminem, but at least he'd appreciate what a difference a Hayes air freshener can make to a musty hallway. Lose yourself in a tidal wave of alcohol and you'll do something you'll regret. I should know. I once had one cream sherry too many and I ended up putting a brand new Cardi in the jumble. If you're not careful, you'll end up with a liver that works about as well as Richard and Judy at tea time. Ladettes, every time you feel the need to imbibe, remember this stark warning. Every pound you waste on the demon drink means one less flesh-coloured foundation garment you can treat yourself to this Christmas from Marks. And if that doesn't have you all rushing out to Alcoholics Anonymous, I don't know what will.
Hello, this is Patrick Moore's answer phone. Sorry I can't take your call at the moment. If you leave your name and your number, I'll ring you back as soon as I can. This is Patrick Moore. Hello?
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 Oh, hello, is that Patrick, Sir Patrick Moore?
Yes, who's there?
Oh, Sir Patrick, my dear fellow, I am the doctor.
Yes?
Oh, hello. Can I just say, before I make my request, you certainly are one of the greatest earthmen. I've admired your...
Far from it.
No. No, Sir Patrick, I've admired your pioneering work for many, many years.
Long time back now. What can I do for you?
Well, my dear fellow, I just thought that you might be the best person to ask for a little of advice.
Oh, that is.
You see, what it is, the Time Lords have just sent me on a mission. I've got to go and thwart Sutek. Sutek, last of the Asirans, trying to break free from his ancient bonds deep in the Eye of Horus so that he can break free and destroy the world. Anyway, to stop him, I need to find a good place to land the TARDIS on Mars. And, Patrick, I wondered if you could think of anywhere suitable.
I would say probably it's somewhere in the Circus Major, I think.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the Circus Major, yeah, that's a good area.
Yes, it can be affected by the most terrible sandstorms.
Oh, no, but all Mars is like that. But I think the Circus Major is a good one, near the equator.
Yeah.
I think it's due south of Hellas somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in one of my former selves, when I had to defeat the Ice Warriors, I landed near the Valles Marineris.
You could do... Oh, that's not a good area. No, I recommend a certain place. somewhere north of the Hellas Basin.
Yes, that's probably right, actually.
I think it's good. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. What if I was to land north of Olympus Mons?
Well, you could do. You're getting a bit down the temperature. You're in the area of Tempe. No, I would certainly go for Certus Major, due north of Hellas.
Right,
I wish you the best.
Patrick, that information is invaluable to me.
I'm delighted.
And can I say thank you for all your pioneering work
nice
in mapping the moon. That helped us defeat the Cybermen.
Yes, I'm glad about that. I am very glad.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Sir Patrick, for that information on Mars. That's invaluable. With that, we can certainly thwart Sutek.
I'm delighted to hear it.
Have you heard of the planet Gallifrey?
Of course I have. It's 84 light years away.
Yes.
Of course it is. The city of the sun is, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, in the constellation of Castabris.
No, it's in Eridanus. Yeah. Your maps are wrong.
Even the Time Lords can be wrong, you know.
Not all of them, they can be.
Yeah. Goodbye, Sir Patrick.
Bye.
Take care, my friend.
Hello, I'm Nick Ross. Scream if you want to go faster. The crime we're looking at this week is particularly nasty. For 40 years, a series of murders have been committed in the same place at the same time every week. Last Sunday, were you in the vicinity of Radio 2? And did you hear this? A gang operating under the alias of the Cliff Adams Singers have, in a 40-year reign of terror, murdered hundreds of unsuspecting songs. At first, they picked off soft targets such as Hello Dolly and I've Got a Lovely Bunch of Coconuts. But soon, they became more ambitious.
One thing you make my heart sing. You make everything groovy. Come on, wild thing. Wild thing, I think you move me.
Now we understand they're leaving the Radio 2 patch and muscling in on the American scene. A brutal assault using a 16-voice choir and an offensive accordion was committed on this rapper who wishes to remain bombastic.
Wah, wah, My songs are carefully crafted, but they left them absolutely shafted. Wah, wah. I want to show the nation my aggravation. Wah.
Here's a reconstruction of that atrocity.
Connie came in and she caught me red-handed, creeping with the girl next door. Picture this, we were both but naked, banging on the bathroom floor for me.
Fearing he may be next, this singer wrote a pleading letter to the Jimmy Young Show.
Yeah, dear Jim, this is Slim. I'm fearful. I don't want no earful of the Cliff Adams Singers. They'll bring us a woe, man. Barbershop, no stop. Call a cop. These fellas got a hell of a nerve doing a cappella. Do this, Jim, or Slim's through with Radio 2. I'm cross. You is Dross. Hope they replace you with Jonathan Ross. Love him. You're Slim.
But unfortunately for Slim Shady, it was too late.
I'm the real Slim Shady. All the other Slim Shadys are just imitating. So won't the real Slim Shady please stand up?
But do remember, this sort of attack is rare, so please don't have nightmares. And more importantly, don't form lame, easy-listening vocal harmony groups. Good night.
And later this evening on ITV, Alistair Stewart hosts a brand new edge-of-your-seat, thrill-packed episode of Police Barrymore Stop. But first, it's the last in the current series of The Farmer Wants a Wife.
Hi, yeah, once again we're playing matchmaker, looking for some lovely ladies to marry some hard-working sons of the soil. Of course, I wouldn't touch one of those dung-encrusted yokels with a barge pole. I'm far too posh. I ride to work on a pony, in fact. So I've got this week's lonely bachelor farmer to record a video extolling his virtues to potential love matches. Sweet.
Hello, my name's Joe Grundy. I am a Sagittarius. Rising. I like ferrets. Long walks in the countryside. Ferrets, tractors, ferrets, ferrets, ferrets. The poetry of Pam Ayres, ferrets and ferrets.
Well, not surprisingly, yeah, there is a huge reaction to the video, and a few women actually wanted to go out with him as well.
How did you find the pheasant, sir?
I didn't find no pheasant. He just jumped into my bag. I'm no poacher, I am. I tell you, my darling, don't you just hate it when people speak all funny and peculiar, like, so you can't understand the word they're saying? You know, I really enjoyed our dinner. So, Pat, are you going to come back to Ambridge and do me the honour of being my wife?
I'm not sure, Joe. I'm a butcher, not a farmer. Do you think I'd fit in as a grandy?
Pat, you'd be part of a family of total losers. You stumble from one crisis to the next. Believe me, you'll fit in fine.
So, what is it you like most about me, Joe? My radiant smile? My coquettish laugh?
No, it's your coat. I've never seen one made out of ferrets before. I need an answer, Pat. Will you be my wife?
I'm sorry, Joe. I may have in my time married blokes who were either impotent, wife-beaters, embezzlers, arsonists, and worst of all, Pete Beale. But I do have my standards.
So the bad news is that Pat wasn't the one for our farmer. Let's face it, Joe Grundy's search for a wife could turn out to be as painful and difficult as listening to Brian Aldridge trying to get his end away in Brussels.
So, Sven Göran, in fact, Ericsson, first of all, Sven, congratulations on receiving Coach of the Year at the BBC Sports Review. But I also understand sympathy is in order as you injured yourself when you got home.
That's right, John. A gash was inflicted on my person between the eyes. I hurt greatly.
Oh, dear. Sorry to hear of that, of course. But I'm sure it won't detract from your satisfaction at the award.
I take no satisfaction from such things. I must not. I should remain concentrated, disciplined, pure. I should not be seduced by the carnal pleasures of Sports Review of the Year. But I was.
I see. So you indulged in a bit too much corporate hospitality then, Sven?
In a moment of weakness, I ate a cheese stick and drank a half glass of complimentary cider. It was dirty and evil and rather flat. I needed to be punished, and I was.
I see. Well, congratulations once again on the award, and I hope you managed to get through the festive celebrations without beating yourself to a pulp.
No, I will do no such thing. I am merely flagellating myself with holly and sticking forks in my legs. Merry Christmas.
Good afternoon, Andrew. Little John, Desert Island Discs.
Oh, hello. Andrew, yes, it's William Hague. It's just a quick call. I listened to a recording of my appearance on the programme and it was most enjoyable, so I just wanted to say once again, thank you very much indeed.
Not at all.
I don't suppose I'm allowed to actually be sent to a real desert island now, am I?
I'm sure. I don't know if the BBC could afford it, but we could maybe have a whip round.
Yes, maybe.
Send you off.
Perhaps not the Maldives, maybe the Isle of Man. It was a wonderful pleasure to be on such a legendary programme, and that the familiar theme music, I think, is a very strong part of that. Has that theme tune run since the very beginning of the programme?
It sounds as though it has.
Yes, well...
Since the beginning.
Well, if it has run from the beginning, and in case you may feel that now is a good time to change it, having had me on the programme. I've recorded a new version of the Desert Island Discs theme tune of my own, actually. Yes.
And how does it go?
I've done it in my very special, unique vocal way. I'll just put it on for you now. Let me just put the tape in. Hang on.
Okay.
Here, are you ready?
Right.
Here it comes. Here we go.
All of these sounds together.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
I'm sorry about the chickens on the end there.
Yeah, where did they come from?
Well, I know on the real theme music you have seagulls, but I can't do seagulls. I thought I'd do some nice hens instead.
So maybe it is the Isle of Man you're destined for after all.
I think so.
Right.
Is Sue's not there, is she?
No, she's not, actually.
Oh, well, tell her thank you very much.
Will do. Thank you very
much. And if she ever has time, then but perhaps we could go for a nice cup of peppermint tea at Scratchwood Motorway Services.
I'll pass it on.
Thank you very much indeed.
Bye-bye.
Hello, this is John Peel. New from BBC Enterprises, it's the latest BBC cash-in video. The weakest link, best put down than insults. Featuring Anne Robinson, the scariest woman on TV since Christine Hamilton. All your favourite side-splitting one-liners, including...
Who's tuppence short of a halfpenny?
And hilarious...
Who's thick as two short planks?
And who could forget the uproarious...
Someone isn't pulling their weight.
All of these, plus Anne's rudest remarks, including the shocking...
That wasn't very good, was it?
The outrageous...
You didn't do very well, did you?
And the explosive...
Well, frankly, that was f***ing shit.
Also featuring special bonus footage of the phrase you've heard so often now that Anne does it in a foreign language to make it more interesting.
Vous êtes Liliane le plus faible, au revoir.
Hello and welcome back to The Farmer Wants a Wife. Well, not me, of course. I'm going out with Toby. He's something big in the city. My pony's called Princess. Now, I've matched yummy, scrummy farmer Jo Grundy up with a lovely old-fashioned girl. She's so sweet. And guess what? She's really taken with Jo.
Oh, Jo, here's your train. Must you go? We've had such a marvellous time. Our walk through the park, going to see that film, having afternoon tea in that cafe.
Yeah, Pete, we couldn't have had a shag as well. But you can't have everything, can you? Laura, are you crying? Don't tell me one of my ferrets has bit you again.
No, darling, I'm not crying. I've just got something in my eye.
Yeah, that's most likely manure. You see, it does tend to go hard and flake off once it's been on the body over 36 hours.
Oh, Joe, will you write to me?
Nope.
Well, because that would rekindle powerful memories of our doomed liaison, memories that must remain buried if we're to return to our humdrum lives.
No, it's because I can't write.
Oh, you sweet, dear man. We've still got a few minutes together. Oh, no. Here comes that awful Dolly Messenger to spoil our last precious few moments together.
Don't count on it. You know, if it were possible, I'd like to see you again. But you know I can't. This'll never work. You speak funny. There is no way that someone who speaks all posh like someone from the 1950s would ever fit in Ambridge. Would they, Linda?
Absolutely, Joe. As if anyone here would speak in such a ridiculous old-fashioned manner. Anyway, how about you and Brian come over for some powdered egg and a bit of Spam before Muffin the Mule? You're listening to the Today programme with me, Sue McGregor. Now, the laws surrounding the use of cannabis have been relaxed, and to discuss this, I'm joined by the Prime Minister, Tony Blair. Mr. Blair, isn't this going to encourage serious drug abuse?
No, Sue. No, it's not. And please, don't go heavy on me. I don't think it's appropriate that anybody freaks out. Sly grin, street slang, in with da kids.
But isn't this just a cynical move to widen your appeal with younger voters?
No, not at all. Although, I have noticed that... all the girls say I'm pretty fly for a white guy. Uh-huh.
Mr. Blair, are you smoking?
Yes, Sue, I am, but it's all right. I'm not inhaling.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yes, so I am. But it's all right. Everyone's chilled. You know, even the laws are relaxed. Stone smirk, slight giggle, rolling eyeballs. The government's priorities are inhalation.
What exactly are you smoking, Mr. Blair?
It's a Downing Street carrot. I call it that because it's shaped like a carrot and I invented it in Downing Street. Dry mouth, feel all floppy, want a bean bag.
Right, so are we to suppose that further drug liberalisation is on the way?
Well, I was going to introduce a law, but then I got high. I was going to legalise draw, but I got high. I forgot to do something else, and I know why. Because I got high, because I got high, because I got high. No, 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 no. Huge grin, monged out, losing it completely.
Mr. Blair, thank you for joining us.
Couldn't do me some toast, could you? Beads of sweat, paranoia, what did I just say?
New from BBC Enterprises, it's the BBC cash-in video of the best of the Sports Personality of the Year acceptance speeches, including this year's moving speech by winner David Beckham.
Yeah, it's great, Tar. Thanks to me nan and granddad, I did me time myself.
Also featuring Sir Alex Ferguson's emotional lifetime achievement speech.
I don't want to talk to the press.
Plus, Sven-Göran Eriksson's inspirational oratory.
Thank you for this meaningless trinket. I will, of course, treat it with disdain and allow it to give me no pleasure. I shall put it with my other awards in a disused well at the bottom of my garden, where I hope the maggots will eat away at their vainglorious heresy.
And who could forget Gerard Houllier's uplifting message?
I have a major coronary and you dragged me out of hospital to be on live television in front of millions of people to collect an award that weighs 3 tons. Thanks very much.
All this plus special bonus footage of yachtswoman Ellen MacArthur's heartfelt words.
How come all the awards went to footballers? I sailed around the world, you know. David Beckham only scored a free kick, girl.
This video is available now. The BBC. You make it what it is. Rich.
You've been listening to Dead Ringers. It was performed by John Culshaw, Jan Ravens, Mark Perry and Kevin Connolly. It was written by Tom Jameson and Neff Fountain. John Holmes, Lawrence Howarth, John Culshaw, Tony Roach. It was devised by Bill Dare. The producer is Mario Stylianides.
I tell you, I don't like my latest date much. She's always moaning and carrying on. But I've got a plan. She's a married woman, so I'm going to have to scare her away by asking her to leave her husband and run off with me. Ruth Archer, will you abandon David and your child and the life you've built at Grange Farm and come away and live with me in a filthy bedsit in Borchester, where every night we would make long, mad, passionate love?
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.